Right, so we're going to be talking about life's healing choices. Did you know that God has a plan for your life? It's a plan to help you get out of the mess of the hurts and the hang-ups and the habits that you may have accumulated through your years here on earth. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now that was said to a specific group of people at a specific time in history. But if you read the Bible and you follow the story of the scripture, you'll find that essentially that's what God says through the story of scripture about his relationship with you and how much he cares about you and how much he wants to do in your life and the hope and the future that he has planned for you. Now, I brought the plans for the septic system at a house that I own in Hopkinton to help us understand the plans that God has for us. These are the septic plans to help me get out of the mess that was in my front yard at this house. Now, how did I get these plans? Well, I got a call from one of my tenants who lives in this house, or an email, and it said basically, there is water in the front yard, and there is smell in the front yard. Water and smell, what could it be? It must be the septic tank. So I went over and I checked it out. It didn't appear to be rainwater. And I kept coming back week after week, and it didn't appear to be going away. So I had to do something about it. I had a septic inspection, and it revealed that the system wasn't working correctly. There are leach lines that go from the septic tank out into the yard, and the water comes out there into these leach fields, or whatever, the leach field, and the water is supposed to just dissipate into the ground, and that's a non-technical way of explaining it, but it revealed that the leach field was completely saturated, and so that's why there was water starting to make its way onto the road, and that was what the smell was. Well, life has a way of getting out of control on us, just like my front yard. Life has a way of leaking onto the street. Perhaps you've noticed that, and maybe that's why you're here tonight, because something like that has happened in your emotional life or in your spiritual life. It's what brings us here tonight, right? So I want to talk about the 8 healing choices that you and I can make. And I'm just going to hit them briefly so you have an idea of what we're going to talk about the next 8 weeks. The first one is admitting the need. It's called the reality choice. You need to realize and accept the fact that you are not God and that you need help from someone much greater than you. Matthew 5:3 says, "Happy are those who know that they are spiritually poor." Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Jesus opens it with, "Blessed or happy are those who know they are spiritually poor." So next week, we're going to talk about that choice. We're going to talk about how you and I try to play God sometimes. We're going to talk about the consequences of playing God. We're going to talk about the 3 things that you and I are always powerless to control. There are 3 things that you and I, no matter how hard we want to control, just can't control. And to try to control them would be just to waste our time. So I admitted that I had a need. The water was leaking onto the street. I knew eventually the Board of Health would come and call my number or come to my house and say, "Vinny Capetta, do you own this house?" "Yes, I do. It smells and the water's on our street. What are you going to do about it?" So I had to get help. This is the second choice. It is getting help. And this is the hope choice. I need some hope. Hey, I got a big problem in my front yard, and I know that this is a septic problem. I know this isn't going to be cheap. I don't know much about septics, but I know this can't be cheap. I've heard, you know, horror stories about it. Can anyone help me out of my septic mess? will my project matter to the guy who's going to come help me or the girl who's going to come help me with it? Or is this just going to be another job, another set of dollar signs, of figures in a ledger of how much they made this year? Will this person have the power to help me? They may say they can help me, and they may show up, but they may not actually be able to do the job. Can they do the job? Well, it turns out that one of the most highly regarded design engineers in our town had the best quote of the three or four that I got. And so that gave me some hope. This guy comes highly recommended, and he's the cheapest. This is working out good for me. Not only design engineer, but I also needed a contractor. So this design engineer wrote these plans, but he's not the one that implements them. Someone else has to do that. So can that person help me? Is that person going to be able to do a good job? The contractor that we chose, you know, really cared about the job because his father was the one that put in the septic that is now failing. But that was 30 or 40 years ago. This system lasted a long time. And so here now the son is coming. And he has a vested interest in this yard because his father did this work. And also I've seen this guy's equipment because he lives right in my neighborhood. And I've seen his big equipment. I know he has the power to dig a big hole and to fill it with a septic tank and leach lines. So I'm feeling pretty good about this. I'm having some hope. Whereas when I first saw that water leaking on the road, I was like, what am I going to do? I don't know how to deal with this. You know, both of these men comforted me in the anxiety that started to come up in my body and in my spirit about this. Matthew 5:4 says, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Most of us here, I think, tonight probably believe in God. But the question is, what do we believe about God? Some of us may be struggling with whether or not he can help us with our mess. Someone called me today and they said, Vinny, here's how much God loves me. And then they went on to give me this paragraph of how they were trying to repent, how they were trying to do the right thing, and their husband was packing up his boxes to leave the house. But Vinny, I'm trying to repent. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to turn my life around. And this is how much God loves me, that my husband is packing his bags and he's leaving. You know, for that person, they didn't have any hope. We're going to talk about the second week, in this second choice, we're going to talk about what do we know of God's character. We're going to talk about, does he base his love on our performance? We're going to talk about, will I allow God's power to be unleashed in my current situation? Those are some of the things that come up in the getting help hope choice. All right, let's move on to the third choice. The third choice is a letting go. This is the commitment choice. It's all about surrendering control of your life to a power much greater than yourself. Matthew 5:5 says, happy are the meek. Happy is the person who's humble. Happy is the person who's surrendered to God to allow him to do what he wants in my life. So I had to learn humility through this process here. Humility with the designer. I had a lot of questions for this guy. I had a lot of questions for the guy who was going to implement it, the contractor. I had a lot of questions for the town health inspector because they were also giving me a loan for this. I had a lot of questions, and they attempted to answer my questions, but you know, some of my questions they couldn't answer. And I had to decide, am I going to move forward with this project even though all of my answers, I may not have all the answers to all of my questions? I had to commit to each one of these people in various ways along the path for this without having every detail in place. That is in real life what we would call meekness or humility. When we come up against something and we say, Lord, I don't have all the details, and I'm asking you, God, for all the details, but you're not giving them to me. And in faith, I have to say, God, I believe you have my best interests in mind, so I'm going to follow you in this. So we'll talk about, in this particular week, we'll talk about the barriers to commitment and the steps to commitment. We'll talk about letting go and accepting God's will as your strategy, as my strategy. We'll talk about accepting Jesus into your life, perhaps for the first time. Maybe you've never really accepted Jesus into your life. You'll have an opportunity in that week. Or perhaps you are already in a relationship with Jesus, but maybe there's parts of your life that Jesus has never been allowed to go near for whatever reason. And that week you'll be able to come to terms with what it might be like to allow him to do something in that part of your life that you haven't given to him yet. So that's choice number three. Choice number four is about coming clean. This is called the house cleaning choice. The work on the site here at my house showed that there were boulders that were preventing the septic system that was there from being able to do its job. There were these huge boulders, and nobody could see it when they first tested and did the test holes they were supposed to do. They said, okay, you're only going to have to go down 3 feet. And the design engineer had it set up and said, this is what you're going to have to do. And then the contractor said, great, and he gave me a price. Well, it turns out once he started digging, there was these massive, massive boulders that had probably been placed there when the site work was done to build this house way back several hundred years ago. So now what am I going to do? Well, they had to dig a lot deeper than they originally thought they were going to have to. So this house cleaning project, as they started to do the project, they found some things they didn't know were going to happen. You know, this is something that I found out in my personal life. Every time I go through Celebrate Recovery curriculum, we have some groups that meet during the week, and during the week we dive deeper into these principles, and we have to answer some very, very tough questions. And every time I go through that process, it's like God says, here's another thing to work on, Vinny. But Lord, why didn't you show that to me last time? Well, last time you did the house cleaning, that's what I showed you, so you could work on that. And now we dig a little deeper and we find something else there in my life that God needs to work on. Some people have called it, it's like peeling back an onion, one layer at a time. Well, someone is guilty of contaminating the septic area with boulders. The septic system couldn't do its job. Imagine the relief if I could go to that person today and say, you know what, you put those boulders there. That wasn't a very good idea. But you know what, I own the home now, and I have to come to grips with forgiveness. So I'm going to forgive you for putting those boulders there so that my septic system now doesn't work. Can you imagine the relief that somebody would feel if I was able to go back to them and tell them that? The scripture says in Matthew 5:8, happy are the pure in heart. This person who put those boulders there, maybe their whole life they thought, man, I hope those boulders don't cause a problem. They're always thinking, you know, looking over their shoulder. We're going to talk in this particular week about getting rid of the guilt. All of us have some guilt for things that we've done in our past. Boulders that we've placed in someone's yard that don't belong there. We're going to talk about finding a person that we can talk to about the guilt that we have in our lives, someone that will, a safe person who will help us and listen to us when we talk about the guilt that we see in our lives. And we'll also talk about understanding how God forgives us for things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. So that's the fourth choice. Then the fifth choice is about making changes. This is the transformation choice. Matthew 5:6 says, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Once we found the boulders in my front yard, we had to get rid of them. We couldn't do the proper installation of the septic system without getting rid of those boulders. And once I become aware of a character defect in my life, God says, Vinny, you can't go on. You gotta deal with this. This boulder has to be removed. In fact, this boulder is so big, Vinny, it's going to have to be crushed on site to be able to put on the tractors and the trucks to get out of here. So God wants to transform my character and your character, and he wants to transform it into the character of Jesus. So on this particular choice, we're going to talk about how this requires first a changing of our thinking. We can't change our behavior and our character defects without changing the way that we think about life, without changing the way that we think about these particular situations and these behaviors. So we need a change of focus. Perhaps we've been focusing on the wrong thing. And we also need to take it a day at a time, one character defect at a time. Can you imagine what it would be like to know? And I think that's why God is very gracious in showing us things, one thing, you know, a few things at a time, because we can't possibly work on 10, 15 character defects at once. Thank God there are only two big boulders in this yard. Can you imagine if the whole yard was filled with them? It would have been a much more difficult job. So that is choice number 5. We had to make some changes. We had to transform this yard. So the choice for number 6 is repairing relationships. This is the relationship choice. Matthew 5:7 says, "Happy are the merciful." Okay, this is the fact that we can forgive those who have hurt us. We can offer forgiveness to those people. It also says, Matthew 5:9, "Happy are the peacemakers." And so we can ask forgiveness and make amends for the harm that we have done to other people. So under this particular choice, we're going to talk about what are the reasons that we would forgive. And we're going to talk about what are the steps. What particular steps do we need to go through in order to offer forgiveness to someone or to get forgiveness? Relationships aren't easy, and it isn't easy to repair a relationship. Now, this guy who drew up these plans, he did a great job. He answered my emails very well and helped me through the process. I had lots of questions for him, called him, emailed him, and all that. He did a great job, but he made one mistake. Originally, he said that I would pay him for all the work, and then he would pay these items to the town, the conservation committee, and all these other places. But it turns out that's what we said we were going to do, but when it came down to it, I ended up paying for those things. So it turns out I wasn't able to put those into the loan like I originally planned on doing. So that was a pretty big mistake that he made. But you know what? Once I figured that out, I had to express that to him because it was highly dissatisfying to have this happen. So I asked him about it. He explained to me how it happened and why it happened. And I had to say, you know what? This is really disappointing. However, you did a great job, and you know, and I appreciate what you did for me. So I had to come to terms with how upset I was about the way things went down. But I chose to focus and to say, all right, there's nothing I can do about it now. It's too late. And you know what? In the grand scheme of things, he did a really good job. So I need to move on from this. And it was an exercise for me to deal with my feelings, but also to express them and not to say, you know what? Oh, it's not that big of a deal. And then next week and next month start to, well, that kind of was a big deal. I'm kind of still upset about that. Okay, so that's what choice 6 is about. And the 7th choice is about maintaining momentum. And this is called the growth choice. Somewhere on this sheet it tells me that I need to make a periodic check of some T. I have no idea where the T is, so I'm not going to be checking it. But I'll call someone who knows where the T is and knows how to read this thing, and they'll check it periodically because if not, the system could back up. If I want it to work properly, I have to examine this thing on a regular basis, whatever that is, every year, every 2 years. Now, the same thing is true of you and I. We may be making progress on some of these choices, maybe making progress in our relationship with God, but we need a continual checking of how we're doing to make sure. And that's what this is about. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, in the paraphrase of the Message, it says, "Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups." So when we get to this choice, we're going to talk about what causes us to relapse, what causes us to backslide on issues that we may have really grown in, what helps prevent us from stepping back and relapsing. And the last thing we'll talk about is how do I evaluate myself and how often do I need to evaluate myself? What it really all boils down to is, am I growing in my relationship with Jesus? because that's what maintains my recovery for whatever issue has brought me here to celebrate recovery. So the question for you tonight is, how are you doing with your relationship with Jesus? If you can evaluate that well, then you can get a sense for how that's impacting your recovery. So that's choice number 7. And choice number 8, the last one, is about recycling pain. This is the sharing choice. Matthew 5:10. Do you see that there? Will you read that one with me? Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Matthew 5:10. Persecution. You know what? As I think back on this project, that's exactly what I feel. I feel persecuted. This is a lot of work. I had a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. I started in like June, and they didn't finish the job until like the beginning of December. And this thing was on my mind, that whole time. I mean, every once, maybe a week or two, I would forget about it, and then I'd like, what's going on with this? I haven't gotten a phone call. And I'd call and check on it. Persecution. It was long, it was hard, it was trying, but you know what? In the end, it was worth it. But one of the things I realized about this is I was a lot calmer than I normally am with things like this. And there's a couple reasons why. One of them actually has to do with celebrate recovery, because I've been doing this for over 3 years now. And this process, along with the process that happens during the week in the step groups, has grown me and developed me and helped me with my anxiety about dealing with things like this. And so that's one of the reasons. Another reason is that years ago, someone explained to me, what do you do in a property that you own that you don't live in, which I don't live in this house anymore? What do I do in a property like this when something huge breaks down because I don't have the amount of money it costs to put a septic tank in there? And I remembered several years ago someone explaining me exactly what you do and how you do it. And so that was part of the reason I wasn't as anxious. This person who explained this to me had been through this before. They had been through the pain and the persecution of going through something really difficult on a property that they owned that they didn't live in. And they shared that information with me. And so it made a difference in my life. When we get to this lesson, we're going to talk about why does God allow pain in your life and in my life? It's a huge question. And we won't, answer it to everyone's satisfaction probably, but we'll have some reasons to discuss. Also, how do I share my story with others? Because someone shared their story with me. And I don't want it to end there. I want to share my story with someone else. Anybody want to talk about septic stuff? I'll see you in the cafe afterwards. And I will help you. Because someone helped me. Several months ago, someone came to me. And they were moving out of their house into another house. But they were keeping this other house. And they had to rent it out. And so they came to me and asked me how to go about doing the things they needed to do. And I shared with them what I knew. This kind of thing has happened in my life in more important areas than just real estate. It's happened in, to do with anger and bitterness and forgiveness. And how do you deal with loss? How do you deal with trauma? How do you deal with grief? And people will ask me for some guidance on those things. I know something of those things because God has comforted me through all of those things. So what we find is that God recycles our pain. The pain that was so difficult for us at the moment, he comforts us in that pain. He helps us in that persecution, and those moments of persecution, and we decide to do what God requires, and that is receive comfort from him, take the comfort we've received, and help someone else. So that pain gets recycled, and I'm able to share my life with somebody and help them in their moment of difficulty. So God is going to recycle your pain too. And right now, you may be going through a very painful time. And I just want to let you know, God's going to use that pain. And he's going to use it. He's going to use it to strengthen you. He's going to comfort you in it. And he's going to use you. You're going to tell your story, and it's going to impact other people. So at this point, I'm going to pass it over to Patricia. She's going to lead us through reciting the 8 choices, we'll call them, for the next 8 weeks, as we have done here many times before.